Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome everyone to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
Hey, Bev, how you doing? How's your week going?
Oh, beautiful. It's just like every other week, they go by way too fast.
Don't they, though? Oh, yeah. So I hope you're enjoying this weather. It's been really nice.
Yes. Of course, all the leaves aren't off the tree, but boy, I've been busy raking all those up and cleaning off my driveway and sidewalk. And as soon as I get done, I turn around and it's covered again. Keeps me out of trouble.
Oh, yeah. So what do you think about the philosophy that some say that you should not rake your leaves?
It depends on how many you have, because if you have too many, it can smother the grass or plants that you have outside. So just a fine layer is good to leave, but not to the point where it's going to smother and build up some bacteria and fungus. I'm not a horticulturist, but that's my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special, special guest to bring to you here on Meet the People of MCB. It is my extreme pleasure and delight to bring on at this time our parliamentarian, Chris Dickey. Chris, welcome to Meet the People of MCB.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here today.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I told you that before we began the recording that we now consider you an official member of MCB. Mm-hmm. You're just such a part of our family, and we want to welcome you and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I really enjoy working with everybody at MCB. It's been a real delight.
All righty. So one of the things I know, Chris, you do not have any type of vision loss, correct?
Well, I've worn glasses most of my life, and I had cataract surgery in the past year and a half, but I'm not legally blind or blind.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so then I tell you what, Chris, share with us a little bit about your family. Are you married? Do you have kids? Do you have brothers, sisters? Your parents still living? Share with us a little bit about your family.
I am married to Dave Dickey, and we've been married for 44 years, and he is the greatest person in my life. We do not have children. We have a dog, and she is definitely a family member. I have one brother who's 2.5 years older than I am, and he lives out in Colorado. I don't see him very often. And I have several nieces and nephews, and I have a ton of cousins. I have like 60 cousins. My dad was the oldest of 12.
And, my.
So I have lots of cousins, and we're very close.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. You know, Bev, I've got to stop this. Every time I think I'm pretty good about guessing someone's age, how off I am about it. When she just said her and her husband been married 44 years, I would have thought, well, she's probably around 40, 45 years 45. Old. Now she's saying she's been married that long. So, oh, my goodness.
I agree
we got married with you. We got married when we were 2 years old. So.
Okay.
Yes, I believe it.
Okay, so Chris, tell us a little bit about your education. Where did you go to school? Well, let's back up a little bit. Start with talking about where you grew up, where you were born, where you were raised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've lived in the St. Louis area my entire life. And so the first 2 years of my life, I lived in Maplewood, Missouri, which is a suburb of St. Louis. And my family was in the grocery business. So my dad took over the corner grocery store when his dad died. And we lived over the corner grocery store for 2 years. And then we moved to Kirkwood, Missouri. And I have lived there ever since. Went through Kirkwood public schools and all. And actually, I live right now in the neighborhood where the kids in my neighborhood go to the same grade school I went to.
Okay,
So
yeah.
I haven't ventured very far from where I've lived, though I travel quite a bit for work all over North America.
Okay,
So
okay.
then after high school, I went to Purdue University in Indiana, and I majored in home furnishings.
Interesting.
Yep, started out in fashion retailing, but I had to take 4 years of 4 semesters of chemistry, and I barely got through the first 2 semesters. And the next two were going to be on organic chemistry, and I just heard horror stories about that those courses. So I changed my major to home furnishings. Never did anything with home furnishings, but that's another story. To get an associate's degree in computer programming, and then also went to University of Missouri Law School to get a program degree, a certificate in mediation.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, interesting. Okay. So, then after graduation, how did things work out for you? Where did you get your first job?
My very first job was I was in college. I joined a sorority, and so my very first job was I was hired by the sorority to become a field representative, and I traveled the whole United States and visited different chapters and helped them with leadership development and membership recruitment and things like that. So that was a 1 year position. I did that, and then I came back to St. Louis and got a job in sales with General Foods. I was the first sales woman, first woman salesperson hired west of the Mississippi. And so I sold Post cereals, like Post Toasties and Honeycomb and Alphabets and Fruity Pebbles, Chocolate Pebbles, and Log Cabin syrup and Kool-Aid and Country Time lemonade. And we had a line of dog foods, Gaines dog foods. They had Gaines burgers and gravy train dog food. So I had a territory south of St. Louis and west of St. Louis. Kind of, I went down to Frederickstown, and I went west to Cuba, Missouri. And so I just went around to different grocery stores and sold things. And they thought I was a good fit for that job because I was raised in the grocery business with my family grocery.
So did you get any type of a discount working for General Foods? I could just see your home, your kitchen cupboard just full of cereal and all these other kind of things.
Or Gaines burgers and not even have a dog.
At least I had a dog. So, no, but if there were things on the shelves that were out of date because cereal and those things, they have a date written on them, then I had to buy them back from the store. And so my car, and they gave me a company car and everything, the back trunk was filled with all these outdated boxes of cereal and Gaines burgers too. And so some of my friends that had little kids at the time, they loved that because they didn't mind, kids didn't mind eating, a box of cereal that was a month or two out of date. So so I ate some of it too. Yeah, it's the type of discount I got.
Yeah. Well, I could really have kept you busy because one of my favorite cereals, and I like several different kinds, but my all-time favorite is Post Grape Nut Flakes. I love Post Grape Nut Flakes.
Oh, did you really? That was not a big seller, I can tell you that. Yeah.
Well,
The grape nuts has a, just the grape nuts had a following, and I don't know if even they're still making those or not. Are they?
They
Yeah,
are.
I like them.
They
Yeah.
are. But I love the Grape Nut Flakes. I've tried the Grape Nuts, but I'm not as fond of those as I am the Grape Nut Flakes. So, all right. So thank you. All right. So tell us, Chris, how did you and your husband meet?
Oh, we met on a, he had just he was working for Procter and Gamble, and he had a job similar to mine where he traveled the United States And he was in field advertising. He would go to a certain city that he would be assigned to, and he'd do some field advertising and give out free samples of like Pringle when Pringles first came out. And he'd go, stand out someplace or hire people to stand around and pass out free cans of Pringles.
Oh
And
yeah.
go to a city and do things like that, or Downy fabric softener, or things like that that were just coming out. He did that for 2 years, and then and he didn't have a place to live. He just moved from town to town, stayed in hotels. And so then after 2 years of that, he got a little tired, so he went to Columbia, Missouri, and worked in it as just a salesperson calling on grocery stores like I was doing for General Foods. And he was not well suited for that, so he wanted to quit. And they said, "No, you can't quit. You should never quit a job until you have a new job." And so they let him work 4 days a week, and then on Friday and the weekend go try to find another job, which was very nice of them to do that for him. So he found a job in St. Louis, and he had just moved to St. Louis, and he met some friends of his from college, and he said, "Why don't you come up for dinner?" And they said, "Fine, we'll bring a friend." So I was the friend, and I didn't know that they were trying to set us up. I just thought we were going to some guy's house for dinner. I thought there was going to be a lot of people there. And so when we met, it was like at first sight. And he, you have to know Dave, he's a very generous, nice person. And so he was showing us around this new apartment he had just moved in. And then he said he had a place outside that kind of like a garage that he could park his car. And he had a company car, which was kind of a basic car, but he had an MGB sports car convertible. And I said, "Oh, that looks pretty neat. It's really cool." And he goes, "Would you like to drive it?" And I met him for like 5 minutes, and he's saying, "Would you like to drive it?" And so I said, "Well, sure," because I like little sports cars. And so we left and left our friends at his apartment, and we went driving off for about an hour and came back later, and they're just sitting there waiting for us. So then the next night we were both busy, but so the night after that we went out every night for a whole week. And so but it took us a year and a half after that to get married.
Well, thanks so much for sharing that with us. Talking about Pringles today, one of my favorite Pringles is a pizza flavored Pringles. I love pizza flavored Pringles. Really good stuff.
I've never
So,
tried those.
yeah, they are good.
I'll have
So,
to try.
I'm going to turn it over to Bev here in just a real quick second, but one last question before I do. So, do you have much of a had much of a chance to travel with him, or has he had much of a chance to travel with you? As you mentioned, you've traveled all across the country.
While he was working, he retired when he was 51.
Oh, okay.
He
Oh,
wanted
okay.
to retire when he was 50, but he went to 51. I would travel some with him for his work when he had meetings, different places. He didn't travel a whole lot for work, but he traveled some. He was a pharmaceutical sales is the job he came as far, and he sold baby formula. So I traveled with some with him. He now travels some with me with my work. He'll kind of pick and choose where I'm going and things like that. So we like to travel on our own, just on vacations. So we've always liked to travel.
You had mentioned a little over a week ago you were in Niagara Falls. Did he go to the falls with you?
He didn't. We had just about a month before that gotten back from Europe, and we're gone for about 10 days in Europe, and he didn't want to leave the dog too much, but he thought about that. He lot, but we've been to Niagara Falls together before, so.
Well, if you ever can talk him into it, I'm sure Bev and I know a lot of our members would love the opportunity to meet him sometime. So if you could ever talk him into it, bring him to one of our state conventions, and we would let him know just how much we love and appreciate you being our parliamentarian.
Well, so. I'm sure at some point. I'm surprised in a way he didn't come to Springfield, because he went to, he calls it Southwest Missouri State. It's now Missouri State. But that's where he went to school.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And he's originally from Kansas City, but he grew up most of his life in Clinton, Missouri. So
I know where that is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, Bev, I'm turning it over to you.
Well, you covered a lot there. I wanted to ask her about her travel too. But when you talk about your husband selling for different food companies and everything, I remember a lot of times they would have to dress up in costumes and stand outside the store and pass out things. Did he ever have to dress up like a chicken or a hot dog or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. But when I grew up in the grocery business, we did a lot of stuff like that. We used to have these things called Moonlight Madness, and we'd have a sale. Usually it was once every summer, and it didn't start, and it was like from 10 p.m. to midnight, and we all dressed up, my family and the employees, we dress up in our pajamas and open the store up, and people just, we sold watermelons for a penny and half gallons of ice cream for 10 cents or something like that. And then we hope that they buy a whole bunch of other, normal stuff. It was crowded. It was packed, but we were in our pajamas.
So Chip, do you think we need a mascot?
What would it be?
Well, I don't think a hot dog would do it. I don't know. We got to think about that. But that's a good marketing tool.
It would be. It sure would be.
So we got to think about that. Well, and too, Chris, when you talked about travels, what travel did you do with your husband or any family that was just for fun? Do you remember your family going on any trips? I'm sure it was tough with having a business and trying to get away.
It was tough with a business. And my dad worked really long hours, but we all did. I mean, I grew up, as soon as I could push a broom, I was working every weekend. And so sometimes, some of my friends in school and stuff were doing other things, and I had to work. I started off making a nickel an hour, and I remember moving up to 10 cents an hour, and I thought that was a big deal. But when I was young, my family always took a summer vacation, and usually we'd go for 3 weeks at a time. So it was hard. My dad, he would, had a way of, calling back and stuff like that, trying to figure out if everything was okay, but he trusted the employees. But we would drive like to California, and we'd camp along the way. I had a great grandmother lived out in California, and so we went out there sometimes, and we went to Yellowstone Park, and went to New York City, went to Florida. So we take these long driving vacations.
That's what my family did too. And camping, you just threw the tent and sleeping bags in and a cooler stove, and you got to see more of the country that way, I think, too. So it was fun. And I'm so grateful for those times, Chris, because I could see then, too. Go back now, after I lost my sight, to go see Old Faithful, I wonder how this is going to be. But my six-year-old daughter, she was probably more like five, sitting on my lap, and hearing her reaction just brought it all. I could see it through her eyes.
Sure.
So I'm grateful for those opportunities as a child, and I'm sure you are too.
And the family being together. I remember staying, in a motel, and they had those beds where you put quarter or 10 cents in the little machine, and it would vibrate the bed.
Yes.
We, the whole family, we all, you know, my whole family, there were four of us, we'd all sit on the same bed in it, you know, which we thought that was, you know, really fun.
Yep. Yes. So, so what do you like to do just for fun?
Well, lately I've been playing a lot of golf.
Oh,
have you really?
Yeah, I'm on the golf league. And after the first year on it, then I became co-president with my friend. We kind of didn't like how it was being run, so we decided to take it over. And they told us we could do anything we wanted, but that's been interesting. But it's fun. There's about 50 ladies that play on it, and it's fun.
Thanks. Yeah. And that's big around here, too, where I live in Lake St. Louis, a couple of golf courses and the golf leagues. But pickleball is getting to be quite the thing to do, too. Have you tried pickleball?
It is the thing to do. I did try it once, and I enjoyed it. It's a workout. It was a lot of fun, and I think I did pretty good. I like to do sports, different types of sports. I go skiing every year out to Colorado with three other ladies, and we've been doing that for quite a while. So I like a lot of outdoor activities or sports, and I'm competitive too. I like to win. I live on a golf course, and the country club put in a pickleball courts that almost. They're very close to my backyard. They're not quite, but our neighborhood's been up in arms about these because of the sound.
Oh,
I don't know if you've heard about the issue with the sounds. Yeah, so it's been on the news and everything else. I don't think it's that big of a sound, but there's like a love-hate relationship with some people with pickleball. I like to cook, and I like to garden. I like to entertain. We have people over quite a bit, and I like to get together with people. I enjoy being around a lot of people.
Well, Thanksgiving's coming up. What do you?
My family rents a hall because I said I had all these cousins.
Yes.
Normally we have like 100 people at our Thanksgiving.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
And I'm on the committee, and so. I get there about 7 a.m. in the morning, and we eat at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so it's quite a, we have, I make a whole turkey, and then I have to make gravy for 100. And then bunch of other people make turkey breasts. And I have one cousin who, or one side of my family, my one aunt married an Italian. And so they make muscatelli. So we have pasta with it. But we have quite, then we play bingo. Sometimes we dance. We have raffles, things like that.
Oh, I want to be adopted into your family. That sounds like, but look at this, Chip. She's got a committee.
Yeah, I know.
Do they have bylaws and everything too?
No, you got to follow. No. But we have a regular meeting. We sit down afterwards, the committee, and we evaluate how it went.
Oh, goodness.
I love it.
Wow. On or off the menu.
Wow.
So everybody has to bring something.
And do you have anybody that, just give them the drinks to bring or something?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Chip. I got to regroup here.
Well, Chris, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you consider yourself an introvert or extrovert?
Oh, definitely an extrovert.
That's what I knew. I knew it. Yeah.
I've taken some of those personality tests. I come out very strong extrovert on all those things.
Yeah. So then tell us, Chris, if you weren't doing what you're doing today, what do you think you would be doing that you'd like to be doing?
I'd be an Olympic skier.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to ask you, Chris, how many organizations do you work with as a parliamentarian?
Well, at a time or ever? Or...
Well, let's just start at right now. Currently, how many organizations are you working with to be their parliamentarian?
Oh, probably about 60 or 70.
Oh, wow. Wow. I would have never guessed. Yeah.
I work for about 25 different dog breeds.
Uh-huh.
And everything has an organization out there, but I work for a lot of different dog breeds because I'm located somewhat close to Gray Summit, Missouri, where Farina has their Farina mm-hmm. Farms, and they have an event center there. And so a lot of dog clubs come there and have their show, dog show, and then they have their annual meeting with it. So I started getting some clients as dog clubs, and then I started getting referred to a bunch of others. So I do a lot of that. I have had some clients for 20 years, and then some I'm successful when they don't need me anymore
mm-hmm.
because I just need to get them through some issues. So probably over the years I've done, probably over 300 different organizations, or maybe 400.
Ooh, my. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So you've gained quite a legacy or experience in working with all those different organizations. So how many would you say that you work with each year? Just from what you've said, it sounds like it keeps you really busy, and you may have just very few open dates. It sounds like to me that it really keeps you pretty busy doing the different conferences, conventions, different meetings.
Yeah, it does. Like right now, I've been doing a convention every week. I leave tomorrow for another convention. So it's been pretty busy. But then, nobody meets over Thanksgiving, and usually very few people meet from Thanksgiving until the first of the year. I'll be doing some, I already have like Zoom calls and bylaws work and things like that happening in end of November, early December. So there's certain times of the year that's busier than others. So I don't have a whole lot in-person meetings in January right now. I used to have several clients, but some of them changed their meetings. COVID changed a lot of things, and a lot of people kind of rethought what they were doing or doing it by Zoom, that type of thing too. So things change.
Yeah. Can you share with us maybe a couple of different spots, places that you've traveled that you've really enjoyed in your travels as a parliamentarian? Mention two or three.
Yeah. Well, I've been all over. Some of the places are really great. Some of them are, interesting, or some of them are kind of boring. I like to get out. I do go to Washington, D.C. quite often with a couple different clients. And I really do enjoy going there because there's so much to do there. Mm-hmm. So many museums or whatever. I had I have a good friend who for a while was the deputy chief of staff for Laura Bush. So she worked in the White House.
Uh-huh.
And then she went on to, she was in charge of the last two inaugurations. And so she was in D.C. So every time I went up there, I got to see her. But when she was working for Laura Bush, she had me come over to the White House and to visit her. So I had to go get clearance to do that. And she knows that I like dogs. So she had the Bush's family dogs. It was Miss Beasley and Barney, I think, were the names of the two. They were Scottish Terriers. So we went out to, they had the maid bring them down, and we went out to the Rose Garden, played with the dogs, and the dogs were peeing all over the
Rose
Garden.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Wow.
So that's definitely a memory. It's good because I do have friends kind of all over the United States because I've traveled so much.
Yeah.
And I try to see where, when I travel, to can I visit some people, you know, that I know. And so I have a goddaughter out in a very small town in Northern California, and I had a dog club that had their annual meeting probably about 10 miles from this very small town that they lived in. So it was that's kind of crazy that that popped up like that. So, but I can enjoy just about any place I go to.
Yeah, okay. Do you work with any other blind consumer groups?
I do. I work for the Service Club for the Blind in St. Louis.
Yeah, we know that one.
Yeah. And so I've just Juswita Tabor is their president now. And you have a lot of the people in that are members of MCB. And then I've worked for the United Workers of the Blind, which is one of your affiliate clubs too.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Good. Yeah. Very, very good. I tell you, listening, going back to Chris talking about some of her education, doing stuff like mediation, her leadership skills, and all that. Chris, I know that we've just asked you to help us with our strategic plan, and I'm just so glad that you're going to be working with us. So I know we weren't able to get you with us last Tuesday, but hope we'll get together with you on our next strategic planning committee meeting. So I want to thank you for that. I know you've served in those different types of capacities. So you have worked with different organizations in developing, creating a strategic plan. I know that you, or I may have heard it from Jesuita, that you worked with the St. Louis Service Club and helping them create their strategic plan. So talk to us a little bit about your experience in working with organizations, creating, developing a strategic plan, and then also, or kind of share with us a little bit about your experiences as a mediator.
Sure. Well, I really, really enjoy strategic planning. And how I got involved in that is so I served as the international president of my sorority. And when I was elected into that position, I knew that we needed to really move forward, that we were doing some good things, but we just weren't really focusing on the future. We were doing too much day-to-day type business. And so when I was elected, I really thought we needed to have a strategic plan. Didn't know a whole lot about it at the time. So talked to a member that had background in that, and she came and talked to the board about it and basically scared us to death about it. So I really felt, I didn't know what we were getting into then. So then I started. She was not the type of person, though, to lead us in it. She just came and gave us some information. So then I started interviewing some companies that provided that service and ended up working with a woman. Her name was Janet Danforth, and just a really neat, neat woman. And she led us through a plan. And while she was doing that, she said that the biggest problem with organizations doing a strategic plan is they spend a lot of time doing it and then they put it on a shelf and really never go back to it and do anything. And I thought, gosh, that can't be us, because I knew it took a lot for me to get the board to want to do one. And I knew it was going to cost us money to, have her work with us. And so I thought, after all that in time and investment, we can't let it just sit on the shelf. And so I made it drive the organization for the next 5 years, and everything we did centered around it. And it was amazing what we ended up accomplishing, and how excited the whole organization became because of that. And so I took what I learned from Janet Danforth and started helping some of the clients that I was working with that needed help in that area. And so I've worked with a number of organizations on facilitating that process. And I think it's a really neat process of going through that and seeing what an organization can do. But It's very true, though. Some organizations just kind of put it on a shelf and they get busy doing other things and they don't let it drive them. And it's really important to, it's got to drive the organization. So, yeah. And then being a mediator, I decided after being a parliamentarian for a number of years that I see in organization, in any type of organization, there's always different factions of people that don't get along and need some help in that area. So I went to mediation training with it's the University of Missouri Law School. It was in Kansas City, and it was over like 4 days. And they had people who were current mediators facilitate the course, and it was a lot of hands-on where they give you case studies, and then I had to mediate between, two groups of people or two parties. And so almost everybody in the class was an attorney. A friend of mine who's a psychology professor, she wanted to become a mediator too, so she went. And we were the only two people that weren't attorneys. And actually, I think we did better than the attorneys. The attorneys wanted to make it a legal process, and it really is not a legal process. And so we adjusted to it a lot better to the what they were doing. The attorneys wanted to make it too much legalese. So I've not ever just hung my shingle out to be a mediator. I've just used those skills to help organizations. And one of my organizations had me mediate between staff and the executive director. There were a lot of problems, and so I did that between them. Different times I've done it. Sometimes I've turned some things down because if the parties didn't all want to be both parties or all parties have to agree to be a part of it. And so that doesn't always happen. So you can't force mediation on anybody or on any party. But it's been helpful for me. I have enjoyed it.
Well, good. Thank you
Yeah.
so much for sharing that
Sometimes my
with
husband accuses me of trying to mediate between us.
us. Oh, goodness. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Bev. I know she's got some more burning questions she wants to ask. But before I do that, I had mentioned to you, Chris, that I had spoken with Virginia Berberick yesterday, and she's just such a delightful lady, our former parliamentarian. She told me, just so that our listening audience will know, that she had told me yesterday that she is 89 years old. And I know in talking with her, I could tell that she has a bit of a hearing loss, because while I was talking to her, she told me she had to lay the phone down and go put her hearing aids on and then come back. But she was just such a delightful person to speak with, and she had so many kind things to say about you. And when she asked who was our parliamentarian, and I mentioned your name, she just said, "Oh yeah, she's a great one. You got a real good parliamentarian there." So she just had some really nice things to say about you.
Well, I really like Virginia. She's a very dear person and really helped me when I first starting out. So it's nice that you keep in touch with her.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
Bev, I'm turning it back over to you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go into parliamentary procedures and conferences that you've gone to for that, Chris. Do you see any major changes every year, or just even slight changes in the procedure?
Robert's Rules of Order comes out with a new edition about every 10 years.
Okay.
So we're on, since I've been a parliamentarian, we're on the third edition since I've been a parliamentarian. And I think for most people, they don't see many changes, but the changes that I've seen the most that they've done is more in electronic meetings, things like that. So,
Yeah.
yeah. But, and that's kind of what I've seen in just dealing with clients is trying to help organizations do some of the things they're doing with board meetings online, or now groups are trying to look at hybrid meetings where part of the meeting's in person and the other parts, you know, people are online. That one's not the easiest one to solve, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I would think that. And also voting, you know, we've always had, you have to be in person to vote. But now with all the hybrid and trying to do Zoom, does that get very complicated in the voting procedure?
It can. It depends on the organization and how big it is and everything. I've done a whole convention on Zoom. Well, you MCB did. Two conventions on Zoom. So, and I've done some others that we've had that way. It does. I have some organizations where people are not tech savvy at all. And so that's where it becomes more difficult. Some people, they don't even have email addresses at all. So that's where, if they don't have access, it becomes a problem. And so we've had to, you know, think of ways that, you know, almost comes down to, especially if it's a delegate organization, you know, almost put in to be a delegate, you have to be able to have these skills, that type of thing. So.
Yeah. Well, the time that we had to call in our votes and give them to you, I felt very comfortable with you taking the vote and no judgment.
Well, thank you. We're trying to, you know, figure out, you know, what is the best way. You know, what I try to do is, you know, offer as many options as I can think of, and then let us figure out what is the best option for the group.
And I like that. I like, you know, given. For you to give us some choices and some ideas of how to direct it to the betterment of MCB. Right. So I appreciate all that you've done for us, Chris.
Early on, I kind of learned that the best thing for me to do with organization is give them options and let them choose and give them what I think are the pros and cons of the options. But people like choices. I don't think people like to be dictated what to do or things like that. So, and every organization can determine, you know, how they want to be. And some are more, you know, forward thinking, and some like to be how they've been. And there's no right answer to that.
There isn't.
No.
Yeah. And that's why when I started the peer support call, I said, there is no right or wrong. You know, just give your opinions on how you do things, and if it works for you, then it's right. You know, so sure. I appreciate all the input you've been able to give us. And okay, when you see at a board meeting or anytime something not quite right, do you step in or do you wait for them to ask for your advice?
Well, it depends on what it is. If it's something that's, you know, that I think is going to make a difference in the meeting, where it's a problem with member rights, or could be a cause for the meeting not to be considered a legal meeting, then for sure I want to step in on something like that.
But
if it can wait, you know, it's best to deal with it afterwards and say, okay, let's talk about that and how can we do it better next time, type of thing. Or here's some options of doing it differently and all. But you know, I've learned, at least, or that's my style, is just kind of pick and choose. And some things don't make a difference. They might not be, I don't know, correct by the book, but if they don't make a difference, That's not a problem. I don't like to be a picky parliamentarian. I worked one time with a parliamentarian, and you know, she was very picky, and I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and the organization will pick up on that, and probably not want to hire her, you know, that case.
Yeah. Right.
You know, but I knew a young lady. Her grandma was in the St. Charles Council, and in high school, she did parliamentary classes or some, you know, and I thought, mm-hmm. great, get them started right there in high school. You know, did you attend any debate class or any of that?
I think I first learned about parliamentary procedure probably in Girl Scouts.
Did you really?
Yeah, I think we did. We tried to, you know, run meetings, you know, make a motion, things like that. And then I got involved in high school in the YMCA at a youth and government program. And I was involved in that. And I was a lawyer and had to try a case. And we did it over in Clayton, Missouri, the St. Louis County seat, and in the courtroom. And then I was selected to go to the state thing, and I was a Supreme Court justice there. So that's not really parliamentary. Some of that was parliamentary procedure, but some of it wasn't. But it kind of gets you involved in that. And then I was very active in my sorority in college, and was chapter president. I had to run meetings there according to parliamentary procedure. So,
what was the sorority?
Alpha Delta Pi.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. We're learning so much about you, Chris. We haven't got to the hair color question yet, but. You know, it's so funny, too, Chris, because, you know, I was sighted at one time until I was 36 years old, but then to find out you've known somebody for a long time, being blind, and what? He's bald? I have a whole new image of him now. Oh, okay, I got to reintroduce myself to this person.
Yeah, it's funny when you know people, at least for, you know, for me, I just know on the phone or through, you know, something like that, and then you meet them in person, and you kind of form what you think they're going to look like or how old they are. And it's totally different.
Here's what I picture with you. Very well put together with your glasses on.
Okay.
Very studious.
Yeah.
Very studious. But boy, when you're done with your work, you can have a good time.
Well, that's probably very true. Yeah, I do like to have a good time. I'll tell you that. And some people that probably just know me from just being a parliamentarian, they think I'm more studious. Being a parliamentarian has taught me to sit back and be, you know, not be the center of attention type of thing. Because normally I've been more out front in other things I do. But I've had to sit back and learn to be more the coach. And all that, and not be the center of attention. So it's been a good lesson for me. But
I think that's a good lesson for a lot of people, you gain more respect when you can listen more and just be a good, faithful friend too.
Right. Yeah. And my job is to make the people in the organization who have the parts of doing in meetings and stuff, make them look like superstars. And it's not about me at all. It's, you know, about trying to get the, you know, have the organization feel like they've accomplished something.
Yeah. And like you said, with the strategic plan, you know, and some of them just put it on shelf, then why bother even do a strategic plan if you're not going to follow it? And I like to see ours out there, out in front, you know, and let people be reminded of some of our goals and how we're going to reach it and keep it fresh in everyone's mind.
Right. Definitely.
Yep. Chip, I need your help here. I'm just down to the hair color question.
Well, I do have a quick question. Chris, so what would you say the ratio is male versus female parliamentarians?
Ooh, good question.
Oh, that is a good question. It's pretty equal. It's pretty equal.
Okay. All right.
It's been a while. I haven't been to a convention of the National Association of Parliamentarians for a number of years because I have clients now that meet during when they always have their convention, so I haven't been able to go. But I served on the board for 4 years, and then I was committee chairs for several years. So I was going regularly for a while, but it's pretty pretty balanced, male female. It is an older group, I will say that.
When I
first joined, I was probably about one of the youngest ones.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, that sounds good.
Now I'm in the older group a little bit.
No, mature.
Well, I tell you what, Chris, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm going to let Bev ask her question, I guess. But before I do that, just to let folks know, this Friday afternoon at 2 p.m., this Friday, which will be November the 17th at 2 p.m., during our MCB board office hours, Chris Dickey will be our guest. So she will be fielding questions. So we want to extend an invitation to our entire membership. If you can be on that call Friday afternoon at 2 p.m., Chris will be happy to take your questions. So whatever questions you might have as an affiliate president, special interest affiliate president, or just any question in general that you have been just dying to want to know the answer to, Chris will have the answer for you, I'm sure. So again, it will be this Friday afternoon, November the 17th at 2 p.m. We'll be using the MCB board conference number 206-806-9756. Bev, go ahead.
Yep. Bucket list. What's on your bucket list that you really want to accomplish?
Oh my gosh, Bev. I want to travel some more, for sure. I just love traveling. I learn so much about people of the world and all that. It makes me feel, you know, yes, more of a part of this globe. So I really do enjoy traveling. So I'd say that's probably my big thing that I could think
of. You know,
of.
I asked my brother one time, who did 30 years in the Navy on aircraft carriers, and he's retired. And I said, what's the one place that you've never been, you know, that you'd like to go to? And he said, North Dakota. What? North Dakota. He said, well, I've never been there. Checkoff list? Nope. He said, it's interesting countryside, and it's rather remote too. And he wanted to go to North Dakota. Okay. I think that's easier than some of my bucket list place. I'd love to go to Italy. And he said, I suppose you want to go to Rome and all these tourists. No, I want to go in the countryside and get to know the people. Like you said, Chris, getting to know the people in the areas, that's a treasure.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's what thing that my husband and I enjoy doing is just really talking with, you know, people. We were in Munich Germany, the day that East and West Germany reunited.
No kidding.
Yeah, and we were sitting in a beer hall. My husband and I both enjoy a beer. And we were sitting there, and we were talking with the locals. I can speak a little bit of German, but they can speak a lot of English. So we were talking with people, and we asked them, you know, are you excited, you know, that this is happening? And they said, well, it's kind of like, you just learned that your cousin who doesn't have much money is going to come live with you.
That's
so
good.
You know, it's family, and you know, you want to reach out to them, but you know, now they're going to be joined with you. And you know, at, you know, East German under communists, they didn't have much, you know, funds, and they didn't do much, and they're going to have to, you know, pay for kind of getting them back up to speed again, everything. So
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, interesting. Chris, we have no idea, do we? You know, living here. And so.
You were just recently overseas, what, a month ago?
Yes. Went to Prague. Never been to the Czech Republic before. Loved it. It was very nice.
Yeah. Okay.
And went to Austria, Germany, and Italy. So,
awesome. Really awesome. Okay. But Chris, I got to tell you, I told you generally these podcasts last about 40, 45 minutes. I do apologize for taking up so much of your time. Actually, and I'm sure Bev would have to agree, I could sit here for another hour or two and just visit with you. It's just been a real delight having you on Meet the People of MCB to get to know you a little bit more, better, closer, up front. And that's really what Meet the People of MCB is all about. Being able to really get to know the person that we're interviewing, getting to know them really close and up front. And I think we've really been able to accomplish that this afternoon. So again, I do apologize for keeping you longer than what I told you that I would, but I just want to thank you for being our parliamentarian. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us this afternoon on Meet the People of MCB.
Well, I've enjoyed it. Very much enjoyed it. I look forward to Friday talking with members on, you know, your office hours. So that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be fun. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know somebody that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself right here next time on Meet the People of MCB. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody, and we'll see you right back here next time on Meet the People of MCB. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.